Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of October 11th, 2016. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, the prolific commentator, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Good. How are you doing?
Great. Great, as always, to have you with us, D.R. It's a wonderful thing. So, D.R., this past week, most of the world, certainly all the United States, and absolutely all the East Coast of the United States, was mesmerized by a hurricane named Matthew. Did you see any of that?
Yes, just this devastating superstorm that again is one of the sort of October superstorms, much like Superstorm Sandy, that has just devastated so many countries. Devastated Haiti, severely hit Jamaica. I believe it hit Cuba as well, as now sort of tearing apart the southern United States as well.
It's an interesting storm, I think, because of the path. I mean, the path paralleled, basically, the as you know, the hurricane is a cyclone, so it is a counterclockwise rotation of the wind and around the eye, which is calm. And it's that eye that basically marched up the East Coast, up the coast of Florida, up through Georgia, up past the Carolinas, rotating the worst of the wind back on shore, and really did a number on a big stretch of the East Coast of the United States. And then, we'll come back to this, of course, but curiously enough, then it had this prediction that it was going to take a right turn, right? And in fact, do a loop-de-loop and go back and attack Florida a second time, is what it looked like, right? It had this funny comma-shaped thing. And as I say, without pulling the punches, what we're likely to talk about, that is a strange behavior based on my decades of watching hurricanes. They don't usually turn around and go back south. I mean, once they get north of Bermuda, man, they just run for the Arctic. And we will talk about why something like that might have happened. But DR, tell me, this big storm happened, and of course, this is a show about climate change. What's the connection? Why would we want to implicate global warming in this storm, given the fact that hurricanes have happened for millennia?
Well, Chris Mooney of the Washington Post had a great piece on October the 6th in which he noted, quote, researchers now think that a warming climate by heating the oceans will indeed make hurricanes more intense on average, though it may not increase their overall numbers. In fact, those may decrease. These storms will also dump more damaging rain in the future as the atmosphere holds more water vapor on a warming planet, unquote. So in other words, as carbon pollution rises, we're going to see storms that in terms of their intensity will be unprecedented, and we're certainly seeing evidence of that right now.
And that increased intensity of the storm, because once it gets started, there's more fuel, so to speak, for it. Once it get that is coupled with increasing sea levels. So I mean, if you were, you must have done this. Every kid has done it when they're washing the dishes for their parents. They take a glass upside down and put it in the water, and then raise the glass out of the water, and all the water stays up in the glass. Right, DR, you must have done that as a kid, right?
Sure, definitely.
And so that's essentially the hurricane dome, right? The dome, that glass represents low pressure, just like the hurricane can, and it pulls water up into a dome, and that dome, then dome of water, marches on shore, and that's the horrible thing. And when that's what causes most of the damage, and as the sea levels rise, that kind of dome will just be that much more damaging going forward. And I think the bottom line, the bottom point you're making is that we no longer even want to talk about whether or not this, a particular weather event, is quote unquote caused by climate change, right? We're past that. I mean, the climate has changed, and the question is whether or not the warmer waters and all these things going on have made a storm like Matthew worse than it would otherwise have been, right? Isn't that kind of the way to start thinking about these storms nowadays?
Right? Definitely, definitely. And it's, you know, it goes back to, remember Al Gore's line about how when you look at the science, it's like taking a nature hike through the Book of Revelation. And I guess it's the Book of Matthew we're going through first.
So, DR, I don't know where you come up with these things, but the fact that this storm was consistent with climate change, with all the attributes, right? The warmer water, the strange track, the upper level shearing winds that steered it to come up and basically take a right-hand turn, just as you remember, also very strangely, Hurricane Sandy went all the way up to New Jersey and then took a left turn. I don't know if you remember back that far. I
mean, definitely.
All of these things are hallmarks of the kinds of things that happen when climate is changing. So given the fact that all of that was there, and, I mean, it's a teachable moment, but it's also a factual moment. Do you think that the media coverage of the whole thing, do you think that the TV shows, the talking heads on TV, did a good job of explaining this thing?
The media coverage was itself a disaster in terms of its overall failure to put this within a climate context. The only media entity of any significance that I saw putting it within a climate context was Democracy Now. Amy Goodman of Democracy Now had several segments talking about this within the context of climate and featuring, among others, Michael Mann and also May Boovy of 350 Action to discuss this issue.
Remind people who Michael Mann is.
Who's the climate scientist whose most recent book is The Madhouse Effect with Tom Tolles of the Washington Post.
And is the guy responsible for the hockey stick graph, right?
Exactly. And Media Matters had a great piece on October the 6th in which they quoted, ironically enough, CNN's Brian Stelter, who has said that it is essential for media to explain that extreme weather events, quote, are happening more often due to climate change or more extreme due to climate change, unquote. Again, very ironic because it's not as though CNN itself put this within the climate context. Obviously, Mr. Stelter can't mention that due presumably to non-disparagement matters. But nevertheless, just the horrendous nature of the coverage 4 years after pretty decent coverage in terms of Superstorm Sandy is just it's mind-boggling, basically.
Right. You think that just because the Weather Channel, is not so bad on climate, I suppose, but the other stations are desperate. CNN, Fox, they're all desperate to fill time. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know I watched some of it, and they had, at least on the channel I was watching, they had a 10-second loop of the hurricane in the lower right-hand corner that they played over and over and over again for hours. Mm-hmm. So these guys are desperate for something to talk about, and you would think that this would be a prime place that they could fill time, right? Sell advertising by talking about this context in which the weather is happening, and they continue to refuse to do it. It's amazing.
Well, you mentioned they could sell advertising doing this. Of course, as we've often noted, part of the problem is that the advertising comes from the same entities that are causing this problem, which makes them obviously reluctant to do so.
When the American Petroleum Institute has the little hurricane path in the lower right-hand corner the whole time. Exactly. Well, so you would give the media an F for climate coverage in this case, right? They didn't do the job.
An F is too generous. I wouldn't even give them a grade.
Incomplete.
It's a record when Roger Ebert would give movies 0 stars. He wouldn't even give them the 1 star. They're so awful.
Well, I think that one of the other important aspects of this, I mean, again, there's so many. One of the other important aspects of this is the, there's so many ways to approach it. Let's just say the media's treatment of the devastation in Haiti. Mm-hmm. Right? So for those of you who haven't looked at a map lately, Haiti is a large island. It shares half the landmass with the Dominican Republic, I believe, and it is just to the east of Cuba. And Haiti, of course, has been in the news for various reasons. It's a poor nation. They had a terrible earthquake. But this hurricane came through and devastated again. And what they get is 2 or 3 days of photographs, and then the world's attention moves on. And the poor Haitians are left with this dismal aftermath, right? Mm-hmm. Did you see anything about that?
Exactly. And there was a great piece by Jeanine Jackson on October 7th for the website Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, in which she faulted the way the mainstream media reports on Haiti and basically sort of characterizes Haiti as some sort of, you know, dysfunctional state politically. And she notes that according to Mark Schuller, a writer named Mark Schuller, he says, quote, when stories of devastation appearing to many foreign observers as hell on earth, with phrases like state failure often repeated, foreign media coverage also naturalized foreign control of the response, and unquote. And basically what Jeanine Jackson goes on to argue is that there's a sort of disinclination for wealthier countries to provide aid to a country like Haiti that needs the help when Western media entities sort of constantly depict Haiti as some sort of place where if you spend money in aid, somehow that aid will be wasted or sort of mm-hmm. Manipulated mm-hmm. somehow. It just goes to the issue of, you know, international income inequality, international media fairness or lack thereof, and basically what are countries that sort of, you know, whose actions essentially caused the climate crisis, what are they doing to aid countries that are on the front lines of the climate crisis?
And I think that to take that concept to the next biggest level, I mean, I mm-hmm. think that a country like Haiti is kind of the leading edge, the thin edge of the wedge here in terms of other places that are going to get devastated and mm-hmm. will not be, you know, the world may not have the resources or the emotional connection to try and help out. I mean, mm-hmm. these are just the first of damaging, you know, damaged societies from climate change. And to the extent mm-hmm. that Hurricane Matthew has again damaged Haiti, and of course, I just heard today there's another cholera outbreak mm-hmm. occurring. I mean, this is an example. How is the world going to deal with this mm-hmm. as not a worst case scenario, but as this scenario where it's going to happen much, much more in other places around the world? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And people have made this point before, you know, in terms of where the media turns away attention. It seems to be a sort of a small thing from a certain perspective, but highly symbolic from another perspective. People have brought up the issue of, you know, where are the Facebook memes calling for aid for Haiti? Where are the Facebook mm-hmm. memes where you can sort of change your photo and have something to represent, you know, helping out Haiti? And you know, this issue has come up before in other contexts, but it is one of these things that from a certain perspective seems minor, but from another perspective is very, very major.
Yes, yes. A telling kind of little straw in the wind, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Well, so beyond the devastation of Haiti, and of course we wish all the best in, you know, the recovery to the people in Haiti. We have to talk about one other media debacle that was related to Hurricane Matthew, and that is that our favorite right-wing talking heads, I guess, curiously enough, a guy named Matt Drudge mm-hmm. and Rush Limbaugh, who I won't even, you know, make a funny name for him. Right? There's plenty of funny names floating around. They mm-hmm. had the... they had the clever idea to tell people that the evacuation warnings for Hurricane Matthew were simply part of the government's conspiracy to hype up support for action on global warming, right? Mm-hmm. And that you should ignore the warnings to evacuate because if you're a deplorable, this is a way to put a finger in the eye of the man and mm-hmm. stay in place because you know that storm isn't as dangerous as, am I crazy, DR? Did you see any of that stuff?
I would argue that the basket of deplorables tipped over and spilled out. And there was a great commentary by Michael Mann on the October 7th edition of the Michael Smirkanish program on Sirius XM, in which he basically denounced this sort of conspiracy theory, alt-right, InfoWar sort of, you know, BS yeah. That basically says that the National Hurricane Center is somehow involved in some sort of conspiracy to sort of get people to stop, you know, driving gas-guzzling cars or what have you. You just have to sit back and take stock and think of the sort of mentality that is gullible enough to believe that such a conspiracy could even be pulled off as Paul Douglas, a Minnesota-based weather, a Minnesota-based meteorologist mentioned on Brad Friedman's podcast, also on October the 6th. You know, this, you know, the federal government couldn't even get the Obamacare website up and running functionally. How could they pull off a conspiracy of this nature? Is it low IQ? Is it mental illness? What is it that causes somebody to buy into the notion that there's some sort of conspiracy to sort of manipulate warnings about Hurricane Matthew? It's just nonsense.
I think that, I mean, it's so you probably heard, buried way below most of the news on Friday that everyone knows about. There was this other interesting story where the U.S. government officially said that Mr. Putin, at the highest levels of the Kremlin, is trying to interfere with the U.S. election. Mm-hmm. And I heard some commentary about it, and they said that one of the things the Russians would like to do is basically to call into question the integrity of the U.S. election, not so much mm-hmm. to change it, and that they wanted to help us more quickly get to what they called a post-truth society, where mm-hmm. there were no facts, right? There was no actual anything you could put your finger on. Everything was just what you believed. And I mm-hmm. think that these kind of drudge Rush Limbaugh reports about ignoring the National Hurricane Service falls right into this regime of there are no such things as facts. There are only conspiracies. And I can only salute Mr. Putin for his cleverness. I mean, maybe we should have let him make the Obamacare website. Mm-hmm. Then it would work. Would have worked within the first 20 minutes. Oh, DR. Look, we've chewed up 16 minutes of valuable time here. We're going to have to let our listeners go. This has been another interesting week in climate stuff, right? All mm-hmm. kinds of things floating around. What we'll do is put up links to the various of the things we talked about here on this show on the website. It's at massclimateaction.org/blog. You can find the show on our Facebook page at /massclimateaction. You can click us, save us. You can find us on your smartphone using Stitcher or TuneIn Radio. We're on SoundCloud. We're on iTunes. Please go find us. We'll close where we always close, DR, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States put a price on carbon. So, DR, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks.
Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us, and until next time, be green.
Very cool.